All right. Well, with all that, we've heard of those great testimonies, how God is at work, how he's been at work here through this church, and he'll continue to work. Just briefly, I want to share with you, you can take out your take home. You can see it's a short message just in case you want to follow along. As I was thinking about how we might think together as we approach 2021, my mind kept going back to Revelation chapter 5. And I think you'll see why these five verses that we're going to focus on today, I think, nicely summarize what life and ministry are all about. So hear the word of God, and then we'll think through this for just a few moments. The Apostle John says, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.'" Amen. Well, we've heard two testimonies, and I want to share a third with you. It's about a woman by the name of Janet. She's a character in George Eliot's novel, Janet's Repentance. And so although it's not based on a true story, I think the details of her life will be ones that you'll be able to relate to quite easily. The story goes like this. Janet was marrying a man that both her family and friends told her she should not marry. They could see this was not going to end well, but she decided to not take their advice and to marry him anyway. And after they were married, it didn't take long for things to spiral out of control. Her husband liked to drink, and when he drank, he became abusive, verbally, emotionally, and even physically. And as things went on, he decided that he needed more alcohol to take the edge off after work. And the more he drank, the more abusive he became. And Janet didn't know what to do, but she decided that, well, maybe if I start to drink also, that will help me cope with the abuse. And things went on like this for some time. Until one night, an awful thing happened. In a physical altercation with her husband, he pushed her out of the door into the freezing cold snow and slammed the door shut. And so there Janet stands. She's been beaten up by her husband. She's in the freezing cold, and she doesn't know what to do. But she says, I can see I have two choices. One is I can finally tell someone, which she didn't want to tell her family because she knew they would just say, "We told you so." Or she said she could die in the freezing cold snow. So she decided to go to her neighbor's house, and thankfully her neighbor let her in and cared for her for a few days, and then finally went to her and said, "Is there anyone that you would like to talk to? Is there anything that you think would help you?" And she said, "No, but I suppose I would be willing to talk to the new minister in town." His name was Mr. Tryon, a man that she and her friends used to make fun of, and the pastor knew that she and her friends used to make fun of her. But her neighbor called Mr. Tryon, the pastor, and he came and he met with Janet. And she said to him, as George Eliot puts it, through slow, difficult tears, she said these words to him, "I want you to know how unhappy I am, how weak and wicked. I feel no strength to live or to die. But I thought you could tell me something that might help me. I don't know what to do. I'm sinking lower and lower and know that I'm sinking. Can you give me any comfort, any hope?" Seems to me that 2020 was a year when people have yearned for comfort and hope, perhaps more than in other years. And of course, we know that because we live in a fallen world, that yearning for comfort and hope will continue. And as we look at this passage today, we are provided by God with what we can say to ourselves to comfort ourselves, as well as what we can say to others to provide comfort to them. It's found in these words, "Behold," or "Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered." Or "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This passage, as I said, summarizes for us what life and ministry is all about, and I'll explain why. Here's the context. In Revelation chapter 4, John gives us his vision of the throne room of heaven. He says that he saw a throne, and around that throne, there were 24 thrones. He says that there were flashes of lightning and peals of thunder. He said there were four living creatures that never, and I'm going to put emphasis there, that never stop singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." That's an amazing, breathtaking vision, isn't it? And I simply want to make two points from this passage, from these five verses. First, point number one, we are all unworthy. You can see it there. No one is found worthy to open the scroll. Now, if we place that truth within the sweep of biblical history, we know that what John is teaching us here is affirmed elsewhere in Scripture. And that is the fact that we are all unworthy of God's favor. Now, to be clear, we have worth and dignity and value as people created in the image of God. That's absolutely true. There's a fundamental goodness about us because we're created in God's image. And yet, as we know, the Bible clearly teaches us, we cannot earn God's favor. There's nothing we can do to merit favor in his eyes. Why is that the case? Well, it's because of our sin. There's a word we use a lot, but rarely define. What is sin? Well, the catechisms of the Christian church down throughout the ages have said that sin is any want of conformity to or transgression of the law of God, which is simply a way of saying sin is doing wrong as well as not doing what is right. But of course, it's deeper than that, because the reason we do wrong things is because we love wrong things. David Brooks says, we as God's people, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're splendidly endowed, but deeply broken on the inside. And our inward brokenness manifests itself in bad deeds, things that we do. It might be helpful for us to know why we do that. In the Christian tradition, they've said that what the heart desires, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. That's helpful for you to know what's going on in your heart and mind. What the heart wants, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. That is to say, that's why we can rationalize any sin that we commit. We do ultimately what's in our hearts, but we can justify that action, whether it's gluttony or adultery. Why? Because we're skilled self-swindlers. And so we can reason our way almost out of anything. The reason I go into that is because, as we saw in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that those who've been swept up into his reign of grace freely acknowledge this truth about themselves, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who acknowledge their poverty, those who acknowledge their sin nature. Our disobedience condemns us. So we learn here that, first of all, we're all unworthy. But point number two, there's one who is worthy. Verse 5, one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold," or "Look, look there. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered." Here's the thought that we want to hold on to. Life and ministry consist of nothing more than one unworthy weeper telling other unworthy weepers, "Look there. Behold, look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus." This is what life and ministry are all about. Why is Jesus worthy? Because we see here in verse 9, because he paid for our sins. He purchased or ransomed people for God. That's why the outrageous claim of the gospel is that you can be forgiven of your sins. You can receive in Christ full and final pardon for all of your sins, past, present, and future. That's the outrageous claim of the gospel. And while we love to hear that, the truth of the matter is that we have a really difficult time believing it. I have here an essay by Martin Luther. And he says in one of his essays that even though we hear that we are forgiven totally by grace, we can't believe it. He says, that kind of unbelief accuses God's promise of being a lie. We say, it's not by grace through faith. I have to do something. I must work. He says, because of our human weakness, conscious of its sins, we find nothing more difficult to believe than that it is saved. We do not believe that we are saved totally by grace. We usually think it's at least something we have to do. Even, this is what we also get wrong, we think, well, if I trust in God, I trust in him, then on the basis of that trust, God rewards me with salvation. So therefore, I merit salvation in some way, even if it's just because of my belief. My belief is a good work. We're going to see here why that's not true. But the good news is this. The gospel tells us that our Savior runs to prodigals reeking of sin and shame and welcomes them into his family. Spurgeon said, our Savior presses returning prodigals to his bosom and kisses away their tears. Why? Because salvation is a one-sided rescue mission. Now, if that sounds too good to be true, if it's a new year and the same message and the same mission, what is it? Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, look to him. If that sounds too good to be true, that if that's all we do and salvation is totally of grace, that's just evidence that we've actually heard the gospel. If it sounds too good to be true, it's because we've heard the gospel. So I began by telling you about Janet and George Eliot's novel. You may have wondered what the pastor, Mr. Tryon, said to her. Here's the word of comfort and hope that he offered her. And see if it doesn't sound like what you believe. I'll put this on the screen. Here's what he says to her. Remember, she says, can you offer me any comfort, any word of hope? He says, perhaps I can. For in speaking to me, you are speaking to a fellow sinner. Remember, it's one unworthy weeper telling another unworthy weeper. Look there. He says, I can. For in speaking to me, you are speaking to a fellow sinner who has needed just the comfort and hope you are needing. 10 years ago, I felt as wretched as you do. I think my wretchedness was even worse than yours, for I had a heavier sin on my conscience. The image of the wrong I had done pursued me everywhere, and I seemed on the brink of madness. I hated my life, and I dreaded death, for with that sense of guilt on my soul, I felt that whatever state I entered on must be one of misery. But a dear friend, another unworthy weeper, to whom I opened my mind, showed me that it was just such as I, the helpless who feel themselves helpless, that God specially invites to come to him, and he offers all the riches of his salvation. He made it clear to me that the only preparation for coming to Christ and partaking of his salvation was that very sense of guilt and helplessness which was weighing me down. He said, you are weary and heavy laden. Well, it is you Christ invites to come to him and rest. He neither condemns nor reproaches you for your past. He only bids you come to him and take to him that you may have life. He bids you stretch out your hands and take of the fullness of his love. Now listen, you have only to rest on him as a child rests on its mother's arms, and you will be upborne by his divine strength. That is what is meant by faith. What is faith? It is to rest on him as a child rests in its mother's arms. Faith isn't a meritorious act. It's collapsing on Jesus. It's simply receiving and resting. That's what trust in Christ looks like. That's the image that I want you to have in your mind. Receiving and resting in him alone. It's collapsing on Jesus. So what's the message that we have for 2021? It's don't look to me. Look there. Behold the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, who has conquered. If you're watching this online, or maybe you're here today, I would ask you today, do you feel helpless? Are you lost in shame? Are you tortured by a guilty conscience? What we see here is that Christ offers free, final, and full pardon to all who renounce themselves and trust solely in him. Seems like a good message for 2021. If somebody asks you, oh, you're a Christian, you must have all the answers. You say, no, I don't have all the answers. I can point you to the one who does have all the answers. It's Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you for abundant reminders in our time together this morning that you are always at work. There's always more going on in the world, in the lives of others, than we're fully aware of. And as we've heard in each of these testimonies, all three of them, even though one of them is a made-up individual, we can relate to each of these stories that we've heard because they remind us that we are weak and helpless and in need of comfort. And while we'd love to believe that it's in those good times that we trust in you and believe in you, we all know that it's when the rug is pulled out from underneath us, so to speak, that we truly feel in a special way, in a significant way, in a way that we don't often feel. We feel just how helpless we are and just how much we are at your mercy. And so, Lord, certainly there will be events, there'll be circumstances that will come into our lives in 2021 that we can't prepare for. But help us to know once again that you are our confidence. Our confidence is not in ourselves. And you say that those who trust in you are blessed. And so, Lord, may we trust in you. May we collapse on you once again. And may we lift up our eyes, wipe away the tears, and behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, who has conquered. He's the only one who's found worthy to open the scroll. And we are made a kingdom of priests in him. We're clothed in the perfect righteousness of your Son. We have the down payment of full redemption to come, the promised Holy Spirit. And you will complete the work that you started in us. So give us full confidence that you are a God who always keeps his promises. Not one good word will fail of all that you have promised to us, your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.